good if it goes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 6 of the Good Podcast. Back this week, we got Prentice Jackson on the line, along with Mike, Shane, Ace, and the Schwab Man. Guys, how was your weekend? Schwab, what'd you get into this weekend?
No, this ought to be good.
No, there's a group of guys that I work out with on Saturday mornings, and then the rest of the weekend I just sat and watched football.
It sounds like a pretty normal weekend. Ace, what did your weekend consist of? I know you watched the UFC fights.
Oh, man. I freaking Friday night, I got so fucking drunk at the bar with my friends and then fucking stayed at home hungover on Saturday.
You heard it here first, kids. Drink and drive. It's the best move. Prentice, what'd you do this weekend?
Saturday, pretty much chilled, watched some college football, me and the wifey and the kids, went to the Children's Museum in the morning, checked out the new Ninja Turtle exhibit, shit was pretty tight, and I just didn't do shit else but watch football all weekend.
There's a Ninja Turtles Museum exhibit, I wasn't fucking invited?
There is a Ninja Turtle exhibit at the Children's Museum in Indianapolis, and the shit is pretty tight.
That's actually pretty funny you say that, because my niece's birthday is this weekend, and she's having a Ninja Turtle party.
Well, I'm fucking going to invite myself to her party, and I'm going to the Children's Museum, because, yeah. Shane, how much money did you lose this weekend?
A lot.
What game screwed you over the most?
Baltimore on Sunday. That stuck it in my ass, no lube. It was rough. It was, that fucked me royally.
One of our new sponsors, KY Jelly, fucked Shane royally. Mike, by the looks of it, you had a pretty fun weekend, but that's neither here nor there. What'd you get into?
I mean, you got to sign something to do in fucking Chicago. We don't have a fucking football team to cheer for. This shit is bad over here.
And with that, we'll just get right into the NFL talk. I mean, pretty much the NFL is there are two teams at the top, and then there's everybody else. There's the Packers and the Patriots. Guys, last night we saw the Aaron Rodgers show just totally dismantle the Chiefs. I mean, and then we got Brady. I mean, those two are playing at an elite level that's unmatched right now. What do you think of the top two teams in the NFL, and then the rest of the NFL is the field?
I think it's, I think it's too early to tell. I mean, Green Bay is looking like the favorite in the NFC. I'm still waiting to see the Cowboys get fully healthy. They're missing a lot of key guys. I think it'll be those two at the end of the season, and New England, they're on another level right now. You know, the favorites, you know, with the Colts and Denver, you know, they're not looking good at all. So, you know, I think that's a one team race out there.
Don't count out Arizona in the NFC.
Yeah, I forgot about them, but I mean, Carson has to stay. Can he play 16? If he can play 16, then we'll talk. Until then, we have to wait and see.
Ace, what do you think?
Yeah, well, pretty much the AFC, I think there's nobody that can really fuck with the Patriots. But like Prentice says, the NFC is still up for grabs, even though the Packers are the favorite. Like, I want to see Dallas get healthy. Even Atlanta, man, that offense is explosive. Then there's Arizona.
Shane, as a Packers fan, do you really see any competition the way Aaron Rodgers is playing right now?
I mean, yeah, I do. I don't think the Packers are a team that should. I mean, 13-3 is realistic, and I think it can happen. But you know, in the NFL, you just can't. You know, we've seen teams go 12-4, 13-3, then just get bounced in the first round. It happened to Green Bay the year after they won the Super Bowl. They went 15-1, and then they just got trucked by the Giants in game one. Like, it's in the NFL, like no other sport, it's you get in the playoffs and you have a chance. it doesn't matter who the best is. It's about who's hot and who's playing the best then. But, I mean, as far as, you know, looking the best, yeah, Green Bay looks like they're the best in the NFC, and New England looks like they're the best in the AFC. You know, it doesn't really take a genius to figure that out. But I'll tell you what, I know the talk about Denver has been Peyton Manning, you know, can he hold up? He's looked bad. He looked okay. That defense looks like it's really, really good. Wade Phillips has got something there. And
yes, he does.
I mean, I know it's early, and I don't want to overreact still, but this could be very easily the best defense that Peyton Manning has ever had.
You're fucking overrated. First of all, they were playing the fucking Lions.
No, bro, it's not. I mean, it's not just the Lions game. If you've seen them in any game they played in,
they kept them in the first three games.
Yeah, I mean, Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware are playing off the charts right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I honestly don't think I've seen DeMarcus Ware play any better. Like, he looks better now than he ever did with Dallas, and that's kind of scary considering his age. You know, I think he leads the league in like pressures, and I think Von Miller was like fifth. Like they are getting after it, man.
So somebody brought up Atlanta real quick. That's a team that I can tell quickly. I'm not buying them at all. I think they're obviously good enough to win that division, but that's not a team. I don't take them seriously come playoff time.
No.
I don't know, man. That offense is just really explosive. Like they say, any given Sunday, I think they could upset people in the playoffs.
So let's get back to the Denver point. Which team was the most formidable opponent out of the three victories that they have?
I'd say winning at Kansas City.
Yeah, on that Thursday night, the Chiefs were.
And that explosive Kansas City Chiefs offense.
Right, but I mean that's one of the toughest plays in the NFL to go win.
It is.
Yeah, Kansas, the Chiefs at Arrowhead, that's a whole different animal.
I mean, and that offense is explosive. I mean, you kind of got to discredit them for last night. They played horrible last night, but the Chiefs can play, man. I just think everybody in the world figured it out last night. Alex Smith won't win you anything serious.
Nigga, no. Everybody in the world already knows Alex Smith won't win
you anything. I don't think people fully understood until last night.
As much as Alex Smith was to blame for that, Andy Reid is equal. I mean, that's a horrendous coach. And let me give you a quick example. This is a perfect way coaching to lose. You're down 24-7 at Green Bay. You have the ball with 50 seconds left in the second quarter, and you have your timeouts. And he runs the ball with Jamal Charles. He doesn't even take a shot. You're down 17 on the road to Aaron Rodgers, knowing that it's going to be hard to come back in this game to begin with. And he just right away runs two runs up the middle with Jamal Charles, and they go to halftime. That's a coach that coaches not to win.
Well, honestly, you can't really blame him for it because knowing Alex Smith, he's not throwing the ball more than 15 yards down the field anyway.
Then if that's the case, then he shouldn't be your quarterback. If you can't go into a game
– like it's easy to find a quarterback this day and age.
But how can you be an NFL team and go into a game and say, you know what, I'm not going to try here because – my quarterback can't throw more than 15 yards. Well, then he shouldn't be in the NFL.
You make it sound really fucking easy. If it was that easy, then there would be 32 teams equipped with one great quarterback. There are 5 to 10 great quarterbacks. There are 10.
I wouldn't say that many.
I mean, yeah. I mean, five to 10. There are 5 to 10. There are like fucking 3 elite quarterbacks, and then there are probably 7 to 12 great quarterbacks, and then everybody else is a fucking train wreck. So you can't say...
Then you got the up-and-coming quarterbacks like Bridgewater, Derek Carr. Speaking of Derek Carr, I want to get your guys' thoughts on the Raiders. Well,
not to get away from my point. I mean, you're saying that if Alex Smith isn't a great quarterback, he shouldn't be in the NFL. It's not that fucking easy to find a quarterback. That's why there's no parity in the league, because there aren't 32 great NFL quarterbacks. There are only a few. So
I'm not disputing that. My whole point about that was if you seriously, you're down 17 on the road against Aaron Rodgers, and you have all your timeouts left with the ball, I believe it was 50 seconds left, and you can't even attempt to get into field goal range, That is a loser right there. That's a losing coach. That's a losing team.
Yeah, but if Alex Smith comes on the field and he throws an interception, you know exactly what Aaron is going to do in 40 seconds. You know what he's going to do.
Well, you're probably
– So wait just a second. Wait a second. You're telling me Andy Reid went 29 minutes and 10 seconds without calling a timeout?
I don't quote me. It was he had at least two timeouts. It might have been all three, which two timeouts and 50 seconds left is plenty of time to get to the 35 and attempt a field goal.
If you have a quarterback that you truly trust.
So I think we should all take a second right now and just talk about how great Jim Harbaugh is that he turned Alex Smith into what looked like a very good quarterback.
No, he didn't. He didn't. Alex Smith was with the 49ers, he still didn't throw the ball 15 yards down the field. And that was the problem. That's why he lost the job.
When you have former kickers coming on Twitter, I'm sure you guys saw the Lawrence Tynes tweets last night. When you have kickers coming out on Twitter ripping a quarterback during a game, I mean, you got problems. Well,
we're definitely going to talk about it later in the show. But, I mean, quarterback is the number one position. That's where the team – this is why wins, stats, and everything matter when grading a quarterback. – People talking about stats don't matter, wins don't matter, championships don't matter. Yes, the fuck they do. And Alex Smith is a prime example of why your quarterback needs to be the best player on your team. Or at least one of the best.
I somewhat disagree with that. I mean, if you got players around you, I mean, I hate to always bring up Trent Dilfer because he played with one of the greatest defenses we probably, you know, ever seen. Yeah, I mean, the guy just had to. All he had to do was move the chains, you know. And if you got to 50 yards and you just gave him good field position to punt and, you know, not pin him, you know, you pin him deep, you knew Baltimore wasn't going to let him pass the 50, and they survived on that all season.
And how many other teams in the history of the NFL can you say that
for? I mean, Tampa Bay. I mean, you can almost, that Seattle team that won that first Super Bowl. You know, you almost could have said the same thing. Russell Wilson wasn't at that status of yet, but I mean,
but he was good enough.
Yeah, but Russell Wilson could make plays,
yeah, right.
And he was making plays with his legs. And Alex Smith, I mean, come on.
But you guys are still talking about a not like quarterback. We'll just get into it later. Ace, you were talking about David Carr and the Raiders?
Yeah, Derek Carr and the Raiders. What, you guys think that Raiders team is legit? You think they'll make the playoffs this year? What's the deal?
I think they're too young.
Go ahead, Mike.
Better team. It's a lot of better teams in their division because you still get the Chargers they don't look good, but, I mean – they untouched right now, so that's gonna be the only thing that holds them back this year is their division. But they look pretty good, though. They look a lot better than the Raiders have looked in the last couple of years, obviously. So it's gonna be cool to check them out. I mean, they might be able to sneak in depending on what the Chargers do. Because Kansas City, I don't think they on shit. So depending on what the Chargers do, we'll see, though.
It's actually interesting with the Raiders. I think I believe I had posed this question on Twitter a couple months ago before the season started. What triplet would you want on your team starting the franchise? And you look at Oakland and you got Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, and you got Khalil Mack on defense. I don't think you have a better triplet of young core players to build around that can excite a franchise and be looking at the playoff at the end of the year and years down the road. You know, they're playing good ball, and it's not like they're out there, you know, luckily beating teams. Like, they gave Baltimore hell, and Baltimore couldn't do nothing with them. And, you know, same thing Sunday. And they're going to get better. Carr, his first year, the first few games, he came out and he looked a little shaky. He looked scary in the pocket. But you can tell that's somebody who truly worked on this game. And I think towards the end of the year, going until next year, we're going to talk about, you know, one of the great quarterbacks. Not elite quarterbacks, but he's going to be one of those great quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'm not buying playoffs at all, but I'll definitely agree that it's a nice young team that's building, and they're going to continue to get better.
They're going to finish above 500 for sure, I think.
I would say 8-8 is a reasonable goal. I'd say 500 is reasonable. I mean, look, they're still young, so, you know, they're going to be you know, they haven't played any divisional games yet. So I need to see more, but it's definitely a fun team to watch right now.
The triple that I take would be Cam Newton, Kevin Benjamin, and Keegan, even though Benjamin out right now.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you off the Andrew Luck bandwagon now?
He don't have a triplet.
I mean, there's other triplets I think I would take. I mean, I'll probably look at Dallas. I mean, Teron Smith, Dez Bryant, and Zach Martin at guard. I mean, you take two of their best linemen, that's Young and Dez Bryant. I don't think there may be a better triplet than that. But I mean, I think Oakland's young three, you can put them up with some of the league's best three and say, hey, you know, I'll take my young guys.
I have a coach I want.
I like Buffalo's triplet. Their defense, Tyrod Taylor and Sammy Watkins.
45 people.
Speaking of Oakland, the team that they beat this weekend, that's another coach that I believe should be fired, Mike Pettine. Why?
Shane, how many coaches did you fire this weekend?
I fired a lot. But why, and I need somebody to answer this because I can't figure this out. Why in the world is Josh McCown starting for Cleveland right now? And I'm not saying Manziel is going to be something great, because I personally don't think he's going to turn out to be a good quarterback. But you drafted this guy in the first round. He played well last week, and McCown comes back.
He played average. I wouldn't say.
Well. I mean, he played good enough to win, but he
played better than anything Josh McCown can do, and I'm speaking from experience here.
Right, so why would you put him on the bench? Why not just let him play?
If it's anything like what Levy was doing last year, he's trying to tank the season.
No, I mean, it's early, man. I mean, to be honest, Manziel, he lost the starting job in camp. So, I mean, Manziel had a decent game. It wasn't nothing great. I understand this is a guy you draft in the first round, and eventually he needs to take over, but McCown needs to go out there and lose the job. You're not going to say, well, Johnny, you played a decent game two, we won it, it's your job now. Like, no, he needs to go out there and earn it. He lost it in the preseason, now he needs to go back there out there and
get it. Well, I saw enough from McCown this last game for him to lose the fucking job. He's terrible.
Josh McCown job just because he's Josh McCown.
Yeah.
Imagine what it looks like as a coach, is you awarding somebody a starting job, first game they stink, they don't play the second game. You can't go back on your word after two games.
It's the NFL. Going back on your word doesn't mean anything in this league.
Well, that's what Houston did. You know, they started Hoyer, the job is yours, but he told him he was on a short leash. He got yanked game one, and they went with Ryan Mallett, who's just as bad. You know, that situation is that in itself. It's terrible. But I think Cleveland – the thing about it is I read today where Cleveland players are in the locker room – like wondering why Johnny isn't
starting. And do you blame him?
And it's too early in the season for those type of grumbles in the locker room.
Well, with Houston anyway, I mean, there's at least a chance Ryan Mallett could sometime down the line be good. It's not a very good chance.
He sucks, man.
Mallett's terrible.
I'm not saying it's a good chance by any means, but he's young enough to where maybe, you know.
He's young and terrible, bro. Right. He's young.
But no, I see what Schwab's point is.
So it's not the same thing. Last year I watched Josh McCown dribble the ball and throw a pick on the same play.
Yeah, like how can you come into a game and tell me that Josh McCown definitely gives your team a better chance to win than Johnny Manziel? How can you can you say that, any of you?
I mean, do they think that highly of Joey Bosa?
No, and Manziel should be starting.
Johnny hasn't shown me enough in his career to sit here and say he's ready to be a full-time starter and lead my team.
Johnny wins by default, basically.
And you need to see what you have.
Prentice, I would start you over Josh McCown.
Well, then you would be fired.
You would be fucking fired. You would
be fired, so...
I'd be the next coach that Shane fired.
Yeah, don't make me fire you now.
And in talking about firings... we got the general manager from hell here, Shane with his best bet.
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to talk about my best bet last week that I was ridiculed on Twitter, by the way. My best bet was Philadelphia to go to New York and win, and they did. And they did make it scary down the road. But they pulled it out, and this week... You know, looking at the games now, there's not a whole lot I love, but if I could look at one and that I say, you know what, I think this is going to hit. One, you're going to think I'm crazy. I'm going to take the Detroit Lions getting anywhere. They're right now, they're a 9.5-point dog. I expect the line to make to probably hit that key number of 10. I just think it's too many points, especially, you know, that you're going to have a desperate Detroit team going to Seattle where, you know, Seattle still hasn't shown me anything this year. Like, they beat up on a bad Bears team last week. I'm not impressed. That offense does not look good at all. Marshawn Lynch is battling injuries. I just think 10 points is too much here. I think Seattle will win, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think. I think Detroit hangs around for most of the game and loses something like 24-20.
What time is that kickoff?
It's a Monday night game.
Okay.
Nice. So I really think that Detroit's going to hang there. I'll have a bet on them, +9.5, +10.
And you heard it here first. Take the Lions.
My only concern there
to lose by less than the spread.
What's your concern, Tubby?
My only concern is.
What's your concern, Tubby? Hey guys, hey, be nice to Schwab. You're going Schwab timeout.
No, Richard Sherman on Megatron.
I don't really think that matters because Stafford has probably less than 4 seconds to throw the ball. And he's only throwing checkdowns now. Our offensive line is absolutely atrocious and horrid.
But Quan, one of my strategies in betting, and I find that this is especially apparent in the NFL, is I'm a big believer in buy low, sell high. Last week, you know, everybody was buying the Jets coming off that Monday night game. They went to Indy and won, and Philly was just absolutely awful against Dallas. So, you know, everybody was thinking, oh, the Jets are going to beat them. Jets are going to go 3-0. Philly's going to go 0-3. And what happens? Philly's a better team.
Emotional letdown.
Philly's a better team. Exactly. And I just...
But Shane, how often has that worked for you, man?
When it comes to the spread, more often than not.
Those emotional letdown games be real in the NFL. Like...
And I like betting on, you know, teams that are just in complete desperation too, like the Lions are. With the points, I'm not sitting here saying they're going to go to Seattle and win, but I just think 10 points is too much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's fine. And I mean, it's just it's a fucking mess. Basically, what I really want to focus on, you seen this last night during the Packers game, people can't seem to decipher the difference between elite quarterbacks, great quarterbacks. Right now, in my opinion, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the game based on everything. Overall, Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback ever. And the only debate is with Joe Montana. Let me segue this. The only debate that's acceptable is Joe Montana. And it's just, I think that Brady has had way less to work with than Montana ever did. So I kind of want to get you guys' opinion on your quarterback, Mount Rushmore, and what does it take, or what do you think an elite, great GOAT quarterback, all the factors that make a quarterback great. Prentice, I want to start with you.
Man, you put me on the spot.
You had all the fucking shit to say while I was doing the intro, motherfucker.
Well, it's funny because the number one thing that people equate to it for great quarterbacks is winning. They have to win. But if we're talking about arm talent, There may have never been a quarterback better than Dan Marino. Like, this guy was unreal throwing the football, but he doesn't get the recognition that he deserves because he never won one. If he wins one Super Bowl, he's easily top three, and I don't think there's a debate to that. If he wins just one Super Bowl, he's top three, and there's people saying he's top three without one, and I don't know if I can put him that high only because he didn't win one. like Peyton, you know, everybody talks about Peyton with his failures. Super Bowl is hard to win, man. It's hard to win, and I think people criticize Peyton for it, but there's other players that kind of get a slide. Like, I truly believe Aaron Rodgers past 3-4 years is the best thing in the game. But also look at his playoff failures. I don't think people mention what he's done in the past few years. And it's a game, it's a team sport. Don't get me wrong. There's times they lost where, you know, he may have played good, but he also went up there. He kind of stunk up the joint in Seattle last year. But I mean, it's a team game. He lost. But I see what he do on a weekend and weekend basis, and I don't think you can. That's why it's so hard to judge quarterbacks, because you see guys put up great numbers week 1 through 17, but then come playoff time, like a Joe Flacco, he's something totally different. You know, he's amazing in the playoff, and if he would have the help that some of these other guys get, he may have more than one Super Bowl. So I mean, my Rushmore, I do believe that it took me a while. I always thought Brady was on his level, but I thought Manning was on his level, but after watching what Tom Brady did to Seattle in that Super Bowl last year, I think he is hands down the best quarterback to ever play the game. He's won.
What the fuck did you say it was debate?
Well, because people feel like people act like Joe Montana isn't in that conversation. Like, no, Joe Montana's in that conversation. Joe Montana is number two. He is there. But I, like I said, I think what did it for me was what Brady did to Seattle. It wasn't like he dink and dunked them. No, he went at Seattle last year. And, win or loss, you had to give all due respect to Tom Brady, because he went at Seattle and he gave them
– no disrespect to Ben.
No, he gave them boys a game. So I would go with Tom Brady, Joe Montana. I feel like I can put Aaron Rodgers there because of what he does. I mean, I don't think nobody in NFL history has a better percentage than Aaron Rodgers. I think he's the best thing going. I think he's going to be the best in the next 6-7 years. So I would go with him, and I would go with Peyton Manning at 4.
All right, Shane. I want to hear from you next. What is your all-around observation of elite quarterbacks?
And if you put Brett Favre in the Mount Rushmore, I'm going to kick you in the nuts.
No, I'm not. I'm absolutely not putting Brett Favre there.
Hold on. Before Shane go, I want an explanation of why you don't give Favre the love that he deserves. Because, Quan, I've known you for years, and you have a certain bias towards Brett Favre. Please explain.
Brett Favre is easily the most overrated elite quarterback ever because he's a gambler and he throws hard. Brett Favre makes plays, but he was not a great decision maker. He just threw the ball hard, and he fucking lucked up. It's like how you guys talk about Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford has Megatron, and we've all seen the meme where he's fucking panicking. He sees 9 people on Megatron, and he throws it up, and that's what makes him a top-level quarterback. And that may be the case, but fuck it. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. And Brett Favre, you know, he had Sterling Sharp, who who one of our buddies fucking said was the best wide receiver ever before he broke his neck. So –
let's just keep it moving. Let's keep it moving.
Wasn't the Ric Flair guy? Was it Ric Flair from Twitter?
It was somebody we went to college with. It was, and then BK went off on a fucking stupid. But I just think that Brett Favre is extremely overrated based on the fact that he gambled and he won more often than not.
First of all, as a lifelong diehard Packer fan, I don't disagree with a word you just said, and I know something like a terrorist would say in Green Bay. If you tell anybody up there or any other Packer fans that, you know, you weren't as big of a Brett Favre fan as they were, then, you know, you're just looked on like you're a fucking, like you're Schwab.
Hey, no Schwab. No Schwab
comment. No, that's fine. That was fair. No,
to answer your original question, I mean, the first thing I look at is how much the quarterback makes receivers better. And I'm sure, you know, if you ask any of the old heads will tell you that Johnny Unitas is the greatest quarterback of all time. You know, a lot of them will tell you that.
Is this your dad?
No, I don't know his opinion on that, to be honest.
We gotta get him on the podcast.
We will. I never saw Johnny Unitas play, but I can't think of two quarterbacks that I've ever seen that turn mediocre, even less than mediocre receivers into really good ones more than Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. What Prentice said, I'm going to agree with every single thing that he said. I mean, I would throw Elway in there as well, but Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback that I've ever watched play football. And I think exactly what PJack said, what he did last year to that Seattle defense, which is one of the best in recent memory. A lot of people say that was the best defense since the 2001 Ravens. And Tom Brady went at him, and he beat him. And that cemented it for me that Tom Brady, in my opinion, is the greatest quarterback of all time. Now, Rodgers, see, that's the thing. Like, Rodgers has, and we talked about this on the last podcast, Rodgers has what I think is at least, at a minimum, 5 more years of the football that we're seeing now, and maybe even more. And
God help us, no.
And it's, I think it's 7-8 minutes. It very well might be. He's 31 right now, and you know, I could see him playing this way until he's 38. And you know,
he relies on his mobility too much to be doing this near 40.
You know, you made that comment last week, and it was stupid then, and it's stupid now. Okay,
yeah, I mean,
he just moves around the pocket with his mobility.
His awareness in the pocket is second to none. I mean, did you see the play where he should have
unfazed
when Houston got in there, and it should have been any other quarterback in the league, that's a safety. Rodgers rolls out, turns it into a 29-yard gain. I mean, just the things that he can do are just – it's just incredible. And I'm going to – like I said, I agree with what Prentice said, but you know, from what I've seen, John Elway's right there with any of those guys.
So you're going Brady, Montana –
I'm going to leave Rodgers out now because I need to see more from Rodgers. His career is far from over. You know, if he wins 4 more Super Bowls or something, then, you know, then it's a different conversation. He could go down as the GOAT, but it's going to have to come with more playoff success.
So Brady, Montana, Manning, and Elway.
Yes. Actually, no. Give me. I know he didn't win a Super Bowl, but give me Marino over Elway.
Okay. All right, Ace, we'll go with you. What is your criteria for a good quarterback?
Well, first of all, you got to look at accomplishments. Like, Super Bowls do matter when you rate top quarterbacks, but also skill set and football IQ. And with that said, number one, of course, Tom Brady. Number two, I'm going to go with Manning. I feel like Prentice thinks about Marino. I think that about Peyton. Like, I feel like he should have a lot more on his record based on his skill set. The guy has the best football IQ that I've seen from a quarterback. Yes. Can you guys deny that?
No, he's probably the greatest football mind, I would say, ever.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
Shut up, Schwab.
No, I said I wouldn't disagree with that.
It's like fucking program into his head.
Number three, I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers, and then I'm going to go with Dan Marino. And also, I just want to say one thing. I feel that like if Steve Young had a longer window of prime in his career, like more longevity, he would have been up there because that guy was unreal. When I first started watching football, he was the best quarterback in football.
Okay. That's a unique take. I was a big those years when Deion the year when Deion was on the 49ers and they were when they beat the Chargers in the Super Bowl. I was a pretty big Niners fan. Just because I'm a Deion fan. So I don't know. It's kind of hard to judge how good Steve Young could have been based on hypotheticals. Prentice, what do you think?
Essentially, he was the reason Montana had to leave. I mean, they knew what they had. The guy was great. I mean, he got the end of Jerry Rice. He got to get a young Terrell Owens. But I'm not going to sit here and knock who he played with. You know, Terrell Owens wasn't T.O. when Steve Young first got him. He made him T.O. Nah. He became T.O. And I would have liked to see Steve Young get a little bit more time. But like I said, I think under, like Steve Young with Aaron Rodgers, he got to sit behind a legend and learn and see how to do things. And it's only been beneficial to their career.
All right. Schwab.
I'm going to go with Tom Brady.
Oh my
God. If I can't do that, Brady, Montana, Elway, and I'll say Peyton Manning. I mean, he's definitely got the stats. I have a hard time putting someone on the Mount Rushmore, though, if you're tied with Trent Dilfer for Super Bowl rings.
That's so fucking stupid.
You're looking.
That's so fucking stupid. Yeah, I mean, Robert Horry has what? 4 more championship rings than LeBron James? Do you put those two in the same conversation? That's a stupid fucking comment.
Yeah, what's Ray Trent Dilfer over fucking Dan Marino, you stupid fat fuck? How about I curb stomp your skull?
Yeah, you piece of shit. Go get a fucking haircut. You look like
the authority. I mean, like I said, even in the – I mean –
there's a lot going on.
And that's what I talk about, like, you know, when we rate these quarterbacks on also, you know, winning Super Bowls and, you know, having wins mean more to their success. But like I said, Peyton lost. I mean, he's been in 3 Super Bowls. Tom Brady's played in 6 Super Bowls. I mean, we count the wins, but he's also played in 2 more. He didn't win, but he's been in 2 other Super Bowls. And I don't think that should be marked negatively on their career.
I understand, like, it has to be overall, like everything has to be included. It can't just be fucking win championships versus stats. It has to be a compilation of everything. And that's where I think people get it so fucked up just because they don't do that.
Okay, but how many times did we watch Peyton Manning choke in the playoffs?
But I mean, one time.
Yeah, like, he's only choked in the playoffs one time, you stupid hillbilly.
Like, big time, the Tracy Porter interception is
the
one that really
I take exception
out
to hillbilly there, hoser.
What? It was,
But do you really do you really call that like a failure on Peyton Manning? Like that was a yes. great play by Tracy Porter. I mean, you look at Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl.
Fuck you.
You know, everybody
Come
looks
on.
At
Fuck you,
everybody look at that that interception by Butler. I mean, them not giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch and they have a horrible offensive coordinator. I mean, I don't think that was a bad interception by.
It's a horrible play by Russell Wilson.
No, see, because to hear Russell Wilson tell the story, what happened was he took the snap. Right. Well, to hear Russell Wilson tell the story, what had happened was he took the snap. Then God appeared to him and said, I'm testing you. And then he threw the worst interception ever.
And it was a terrible play.
Hey, that was God's fault, okay? God didn't want Russell Wilson to win that night.
On the back hip.
But it's all cool, guys. He had some recovery water. He's fine now. Cures concussions.
If he puts it on the back hip.
I mean, really, the only time I think I've truly seen Peyton Manning like choke in the playoffs was that year he lost to Mark Sanchez and the Jets. It was Sanchez's rookie year.
Yeah,
he had no business losing.
In Indy, too, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets' defense was unreal that year. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I personally wouldn't have liked him to lose to Mark Sanchez.
To be fair, the Pats also lost to them that year, too, Tom Brady.
Yeah, it's true.
God, I remember that.
Okay. Well, I think we're kind of getting off the point here. Mike, give us your Mount Rushmore.
Quarterback Mount Rushmore. I had to start with Dan Marino. Dude was incredible on the field. He's the motherfucker that made me want to play quarterback.
Thank God that didn't work
after
out.
After him, I hate to say this, but Brett Favre.
Oh, fuck. That's the end of this fucking Mount Rushmore already.
You're done.
Here comes the hot takes.
Being a Bears fan, you had to see him twice a year. Let alone the rest of the season. And now, dude, he's as bad as he was good.
Give me Jim Kelly over Brett Favre, man.
But I'm taking
Hell no.
Because dude was really, really good. I mean, he had his
ladies and gentlemen,
not so good years, you know, towards the end of his career.
On proper position picking.
I definitely had to put Brett Favre.
Packers fans didn't even take Brett Favre.
Yeah. Another guy that I don't really like to admit, but I have to, is Tom Brady. I mean, it's pretty obvious. What? Dude is a winner. I mean, he's a winner in all shapes. I mean, he has the stats. He had a big stat season. He had the big stat seasons. And, I mean, he just fucking four championships. I mean, him and Belichick, they have what they had going on. You can throw out all that bullshit, the Spygate, the Deflategate. I mean, I do it myself because I don't like the Pats. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. So he on there. And then my favorite quarterback, I think, man, they put him on there. I mean, the prototypical pocket passer. This dude can break down defenses. Really good vision, great arm at one point. Not so much now. But the thing I like most about Peyton is that he's able to change on the fly to audibles. And, I mean, he's like a on-the-field coach. He's what you want a quarterback to be. So that's my Mount Rushmore.
Mike,
what brand of drug
brand of are, drug you are you currently on?
If they're too illegal to mention on the podcast, please don't say anything.
Yeah, I got it. All right. A pretty good job.
So because it's pretty apparent.
I mean, hey, these are everybody that I named I saw, so, and I remember seeing, like, Joe Montana. I completely knocked any of them off for Joe Montana, but I don't really remember watching him. I know, like, everything that he did, but I don't remember watching him. I watched Brett Favre, like, I had to watch him twice a year.
Hey, we all see Brett Favre. That's why I was so flabbergasted.
No, I agree. I agree with Mike's point there. Like, it's hard to talk about guys like Montana or Unitas because that was just, you know, pretty much before my time.
Nigga.
All I know is what.
Nigga, what? Shane, when were you born?
Hey, you can play Joe Montana. 88. No problem. Like, it's clear, but I'm saying I'm coming from what I saw. Like, I mean, right now. Yeah, we seeing Aaron Rodgers. I'm pretty sure that, you know, our kids and, you know, further after that don't remember seeing him, they're not gonna know how fucking amazing he was on the field. I mean, depending on how much he wins, they might be able to go off of that. But I saw the four guys out there. I saw them and watched them. Remember, they're watching the color of them now.
You know what, and that's a good point that Mike make, and I think when people talk about legacies in sports,
fuck everybody, they only on this
no, but seriously, you only remember like Peyton Manning. Like, everybody forget how good Peyton Manning really was. They see
no, they don't.
Like, yes, they do, man. Like, people
no, we didn't forget how good Peyton Manning was. Riley Knock on the guy was the only guy one ring.
This is a guy that got every damn near every record in quarterback. And we are he doesn't get the, like, do you remember how good Brett Favre was in the '90s? Like, we see the bad Brett Favre at the end of his career with the Packers.
Bro,
with
we
the
saw
Jets.
The bad Brett Favre in
Man,
the 90s.
You didn't see much.
He was just playing against fucking Scott Mitchell two times a year.
You didn't see. Come on, man. The man won two MVPs in the '90s.
Yeah, he was good, but he was fucking bad. I told you, bruh.
Come on,
you
man.
Don't fucking throw.
He wasn't better than Steve Young, in my opinion.
Well, I'd take Aikman over him too.
Shut the fuck up.
Aikman's stats aren't very good, but Aikman at least won.
I'm going to finish off with my Mount Rushmore. It's Brady, Montana. I'm going Peyton, and I'm going. I'm going. Normally, I go Marino, and I'm going to stick with it. And I want to put Elway there, but I mean, Dan was there. He just didn't get over the hump. You can't hold that against him. You can't hold that against him. We're getting terroristic threats from Shane here. Prentice, as we wrap that up, you want to talk about throwing the ball. We want to talk about catching, too. And this week, we want to know, who dropped the church's money this week?
Oh, my God. Who dropped the church's money? I got two selections this week, and it's in college football once again. If you caught the Tennessee-Florida game, Tennessee, but I like Butch Jones, and he's doing a pretty good job out there in Tennessee, but Jesus Christ, you have an opportunity, you go down and you score a touchdown. You know what the score is. You see the time on the clock, and he doesn't go for two. What does Florida do? They drive right down the field and they win the game. And next. I can't even fathom what he did. It was ridiculous. Then, while that shit's going on, I'm watching Texas, the Texas game. This game, Texas and Oklahoma State, back and forth, exciting game. Texas looked like they finally found their quarterback. Charlie Strong is doing it. And here we are, end of the game, and Texas didn't move the ball. They're getting ready to punt with 30 seconds on the clock. And the punter dropped, he dropped the church's money. The perfect snap, literally dropped the church's money. And then, while he recovered the church's money, he shanked it for 12 yards. And it gave Oklahoma State awesome field to kick a field goal and win the game and destroy the rest of Texas season. And so fuck that punter at Texas. Fuck Butch Jones. You guys really dropped the church's money, and I hope to see you at church next week.
Hallelujah. Holla back.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
I just want to say something to those points real fast. There's three types of people in this world that I hate more than Schwab. One of them is the psychotic right-wing Republicans. Number two, place kickers. Number three, punters. They are the fucking most useless people in the world, and they cost me money from September to February every single year of my adult life. I fucking hate them.
So you've been lobbying all week to get place kickers replaced or just abolished from the game.
They should be outlawed. It was ridiculous. Like, they just ruined games.
What is your solution to getting rid of place kickers?
Well, off the top of my head, I would say every touchdown you have to go for two. Every team just starts on the 25, and if you want to give it up on fourth down, if you're not past the 50, then the other team gets it on their own 25. I mean, seriously, I want kickers gone. I want them fucking out. They're the biggest waste of space, and they just cost me more. I mean, is it bad that I have to sit there and sweat an extra point in a college football bet? Like, I've lost games where guys have missed extra points.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers kicker missed, I think, an extra point in two or three field goals. And the spread was just 9 points, and he cost me. I had a 6-game parlay won.
They traded for that guy.
Blew the game.
They traded for Brenza, by the way.
He is fucking awful. Fuck him. I really hope he finds a way to die.
Oh yeah, and Butch.
Well, here was the thing. Kyle Brenza was erratic at Notre Dame. So then, they had Patrick Murray. Connor Barth was back from injury. They go and trade.
Fuck all Tim that. Wright. How the fuck is this guy in the league? That's my question.
Now, the only thing that made me feel better about any of that was watching Tim Wright play Matador and attempting to block.
Are you done? What was that all about?
I have no idea what point you were trying to make.
What the fuck was that?
All I want to know is
why the fuck is that guy your starting kicker?
Good question.
As we get into college football, really quick story. Prentice, Butler game. We're looking at we're down 8-11, about 20 seconds. We never lost to Butler. Like, losing to Butler at our school, they were 1AA, no scholarship. Like, 23 seconds left in the game. Our offense ain't gave us jack shit all game. We get a stop. I get fucking blasted on his punt.
Oh, he got murdered. And it's on video, guys.
I come off the sideline and offense geeked up. They moving. We look at the kicker about 23 seconds left. He has this big stupid-ass grin on his face. I said, yo, you got this? And he just started fucking cheesing. I've never seen a kicker push a fucking kick so far left in my life. I was like, to your point, Shane, the kickers don't do shit in practice. They kick for 20 minutes, and then they fucking jerk each other off. So I kind of agree with the getting rid of the place kicker. Yes.
I mean, I'm sure my system on how to get rid of them is obviously, you know, there's probably much better opinion, because I feel like I'm the first person to ever come up with this. I mean, you can, it's just crazy how you can, like you said, you play it, like, look at Texas and California 2 weeks ago. Texas came all the way back to tie the game up, to end the game with a few seconds left. And, you know, it was 45-44, and, you know, the game's going to go to overtime. The game was awesome. And then this little fucking dork from Texas comes on the field, and he shanks an extra point 100 feet to the right. It looked like one of my drives when I'm golfing. He shanked it, like, 100 yards to the right. I was just like, how do these guys who bust their ass all game, hitting each other, getting hit, their hopes go down because of some fucking dork missing an extra point? That's sickening.
Absolutely.
And we spent way too much fucking time talking about kickers. Let's get to the Michigan Minute. Go ahead and take that away. Everybody's favorite segment.
Thanks, Quan. This past Saturday, Michigan improved to 3-1 with a 31-0 dismantling of BYU. The game was only that close because Coach Harbaugh was content with basically running clock for the entire second half. Rudock was better, though he still missed some reads and looked hesitant at times. Amara Darbo did his best OBJ impression, and Davion Smith did his best Marshawn Lynch one. Smith left the game with an ankle injury, but said he plans to play this Saturday against Maryland. The defense was dominant, limiting the Cougars to only 105 yards of offense on the day. Jabril Peppers had his best game as a Wolverine, really starting to look like the player Michigan fans think he'll be. Jordan Lewis turned in another excellent performance, and Stribling and Clark were both fine opposite him. For all the questions about Michigan's defensive ends going into the season, they've been a strength for the Wolverines thus far. Ojemudia Charlton and Jenkins Stone have been solid, and Wormley has been one of Michigan's best players. The biggest thing missing from the unit right now is one more linebacker taking the next step. Desmond Morgan has been very good. Bolden Ross and Gideon have all been okay, but not great. Still, while just about everyone expected the defense to be good, they've exceeded those expectations. A full recap of the BYU game, including player grades and a position-by-position breakdown, is up right now at goodifitgoes.com. Sincerely yours in football, I'm Kevin Schrader, and this has been your Michigan Minute.
Oh, it's, go Blue. It's fucking lit, bruh. Did you hear this? Did you hear his fucking... He got that down pat. He could fucking nail that off in his sleep. Hey...
Wait, hold on, real quick. It's Schrader. I thought it was Schroeder. Oh, that makes you even a bigger douchebag.
Oh, you like Ricky Schrader? That shit was good. Did you hear every time the mic like clicked up against when he was moving? I just imagine it sitting on his chest. I'm just holding the mic.
It sounds like you're reading a fucking press release.
None. I wrote it down.
Bro, he got it rehearsed. He do it. If you listen to the podcast every week, he got that shit down pat. That's how really I want everybody on my staff to be. But you niggas don't do nothing. Schwab's the only one to do so.
Hey, Schwab, honestly, hold on. The touch on Michigan, though, that honestly was the best game that I've seen Michigan play since Loy Carr. Like I said, that's the hardball effect, man. And that's, you wonder why I shed so many tears when the 49ers just to say, hey, fuck you, go goodbye. That, I mean, it's.
Okay, we're not spending 10 minutes talking about Michigan.
Let's move to
the next subject.
This is the hot take, man. The Jim Harbaugh
effect is real. And, you know, and it's going to be Harbaugh and Urban, and it's going to get real, and the Big Ten going to be back. And that was the best game that I have seen Michigan play since Loy Carr. And I know Michigan fans really had to be excited.
Dude, you guys want to hear a hot take? Here's a hot take. That fucking moron Ric Flair on Twitter saying that if Andrew Luck was black, he would be benched.
I'd like to kick that guy right in the fucking mouth, dude. He's a fucking moron. Seriously. That guy is one of the biggest idiots on.
Can anyone else contribute to thank you for your irrelevant opinion here?
Shut the fuck up and let us talk.
Shut the fuck up. You just like, you could fuck up a wet dream, man. I'm sorry. You brought that. But back on topic. Is the Alabama dynasty dead?
No, hell no. He gets the best. He's top five, top three recruiting every year. I mean, this year, I tried to tell Helmer before the season started. They didn't have a quarterback. They didn't have offensive line. They didn't have receivers. It got caught up to them. The thing about college football is you lose a game in an SEC. All they do is highly rank the other team. So when you beat them, you jump right back in the top 10 and you're in playoff contention. So all Bama have to do is beat LSU in a few weeks and whoop, bam, they're right back in the playoff hunt, which they shouldn't be because they're not as good as they have been in the years past.
And I 100% agree with you that the Bama dynasty is not even close to done. And I'm to be honest. I'm sick of hearing that. And, you know, it starts this Saturday. They got a huge game at Georgia, and I'm going to I'm looking at the chat right now. I gotta check with Helmer before I do anything, but I think Alabama is an underdog at Georgia is a mistake. I think they're going to win that game. I think it's an overreaction to the Ole Miss game, and I think Saban will have them ready, and they're going to beat Georgia. I don't know if they can beat LSU, though. LSU looks like – I tweeted a few days ago. I said I don't know anything about college football. Just ask my bookie. But I think LSU is the best team in the country I've seen so far.
Here's a potential hot take. Do you think Nick Saban is ready to move on from Tuscaloosa, though?
You know, I've heard that. I don't. I mean, where's he going to go from here? Where would you go from here? Like Feinbaum was saying it on his show, that there's just nowhere left for him to go. Like the Texas thing was real.
Texas.
But that's over and done with now. I mean, he's not going to go back to the NFL. And I mean, what, you know, major college, why leave Bama? What's the reason to leave Bama?
The only thing I can think is if Bama is starting to get some unrealistic expectations, or maybe he's just ready for a change of scenery. I don't think he'll leave. I don't think he's going to leave, but just playing devil's advocate here, I could see Texas being a possibility. I mean, they fired Patterson, right?
Yeah, but I mean, he had the opportunity to go there already.
Steve Patterson's an idiot, though. I mean, in 2011, Michigan wanted Jim Harbaugh then, too, but Dave Brannon's a complete bozo. So that didn't happen.
Well, see, all this – and the funny thing about Harbaugh in Michigan is this is all a moot point once Chuck Pagano gets fired in Indy and Jim Harbaugh's coaching there next year.
Why Harbaugh will not take that job in four words. Poppins from Tom Crean.
I like riling up you Michigan dorks. I've been doing it on Twitter all week saying that Harbaugh's going to Indy and you guys are acting like little bitches.
No, that was a hot take session. Those takes were really fucking hot. Now, we missed him on the podcast last week. We got Mike's minute of mayhem. Mikey.
Derrick Rose. So yesterday I was going to talk about what the hell he's saying. Basically, stop fucking talking. I think that he has good intentions, but he doesn't know how to shape his words. And this is like kind of going back yesterday when he talked about the free agency stuff or whatever, or earlier today, whatever. And then as far as him and Jimmy not having beef, like he just doesn't put his words together. This kind of goes back to when he was talking about saving his knees for meetings and funerals and shit. Like, stop fucking talking, Derrick Rose. And then the fucking guy goes and fucking breaks his face today in practice. So not only are you back saying dumb shit again, but you hurt again. Again. Like, Derrick Rose being hurt in the NBA is like, that's like fucking saying water is wet now. And it has been. And it's like, Bulls fans, we keep psyching ourselves out thinking, well, shit gonna be okay this year, we back. But no, he fucking got hurt again. I was just glad it wasn't his knees. It's like, you get these alerts, Derrick Rose hurt. It's like, fuck, how long now? You know? So I'm just glad it wasn't his knees. Get well, pull bear. Maybe you'll have a mask on. We'll fucking see. But stop fucking talking and stop fucking getting injured, dude.
You're not excited for Stacey King to be able to yell, who is that masked man again?
No, and we saw you tweet that before, and it was fucking stupid then, and it was stupid now.
I'm as excited to see that as I am to see your drive home safely beep beep tweet.
Oh, if I'm tweeting that means the Bulls won.
And I love that because when Cleveland beat them last year, like everybody in the world knew that they would. I tweeted Schwab after the game, drive home safely, you fat fuck, beep beep. And he was sick. He was salty. I got him there.
UFC 192 is this weekend. Daniel Cormier should smash Gustafsson. I got Tyrone Woodley upsetting Johnny Hendricks. Rashad Evans making a comeback and defeating Ryan Bader. But I think the best bet to make this weekend, this is for Shane, Jessica Eye over Julia Pena. The odds on that is just outrageous. I think that Jessica Pena, like, as good as she is, she's an up-and-comer. Jessica Eye has more experience, and I don't know why she's the underdog in this fight.
All right, and there we have it. Check out UFC 192. This is episode 6. thanks everybody for listening. Check out goodifitgoes.com. Explore the site. If you're already here, fucking do it. Good if it goes.